It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Family Eye Clinic in Maryville. Dr. Drew Garwood offers patients eye exams, diagnosis, and treatment of eye injuries, as well as glasses and contact lenses. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. As our listeners know, we highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and of course the developments throughout our region. And please know, there is so much to celebrate regarding Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV KRNW, hope you enjoyed the holiday season with family and friends and are experiencing a wonderful new year. I am pleased to welcome you to the January 2017 edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month. In segment one, we feature Dr. Juanita Simmons. She's the Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Northwest Missouri State University. In segment two, we feature Mara Ferguson, President of the State Theater Council. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Dr. Juanita Simmons to All Things Northwest. Juanita M. Cleaver Simmons, Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Northwest Missouri State University, began this inaugural position in August of 2016. She was awarded Emerita Associate Professor at the University of Missouri Columbia, where she served for 14 years in the Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis Division of the College of Education. She's a graduate of the University of Texas, Austin, where she earned her PhD in urban superintendency and a master's in educational leadership. Her research agenda focuses on race, gender, class, and equity in organizations and institutions. She's the author of numerous publications and is currently under contract for her upcoming book, Emancipatory Leadership, that's going to be published in 2017 with Information Age Publishers. She's a former public school teacher and administrator. Dr. Simmons continues to work with aspiring and seated leaders in public institutions for enhanced cultural competency and excellence in equity. Dr. Juanita Simmons, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jasinski. I'm honored to be here.
Well, we're honored to have you not just here for this program, but at Northwest Missouri State in the inaugural position of Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Let's start there. Why does an institution need a position like this?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion, I tell you, that's probably three of the most important words to our career and our social standing right now in America: diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, why do we need that? I think that we owe it to our graduates. We owe it to our students who are part of this fine institution to have had the exposure to become better culturally aware, culturally competent, prepared to be competitive nationally and internationally with the various populations and the cultures and religions and the various languages, to know something about culture where they can have a comfort in being competitive.
Well, when we think about this position, I don't think listeners might know this from the intro that I read, but bottom line is you have knowledge of Northwest Missouri State University. You spoke here really just under a year ago, back in 2016. Mm-hmm. But also then you had interest in the position. So what was your interest in applying for the position in Northwest Missouri State University?
That's an excellent question. You know, it's really, really, I have to laugh about it now. When I came here in February of last year as a lecturer, I had no idea that I would end up here in this position. I knew that there was something very special for a number of reasons. One, I had taught graduate students in the doctoral program for the statewide EDD who were from Northwest, a whole cohort. And for some reason, we always drew into each other. And I see many of them now on campus in various positions. We were very close. They had conversations about diversity, cultural awareness, equity, and just about being good citizens. They were good people to be around, and I enjoyed the unity, the respect. I enjoyed the bond they had with each other. They were always together. They had their Northwest t-shirts on and very friendly. And then when I came to this campus a year ago in February, there was something very familiar about the campus. I felt safe here. I felt warm. It was like a deja vu, one of the most beautiful campuses I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of campuses. But it was one of the most beautiful campuses, but a very warm place. Lastly, when I was here, I was very impressed with your relationship with students. Students were coming by and they were Dr. J and they'd hug you or come over and you knew them by name. And in fact, when I walked in the day that I was to have the lecture that evening, I came a little early and you were involved with a group of students around the room in a circle and this conversation was going on and they had said, oh, this is the president's Dr. Jazz conversation. I was looking around because it was so informal and there was such a rich exchange. I was like, well, who is the president? Where is the president? You were among the students. And to me, that was an area of comfort, a work of love in action.
Well, we really appreciate you joining Northwest Missouri State. And I think for our listeners, our intent here during this segment of All Things Northwest on KXV, KRNW is to talk to Dr. Juanita Simmons and really learn about you. So talk about your qualifications, your experiences, and how those align with this position. Mm-hmm.
Diversity and equity and inclusion have all been a passion in my life. I have had many years as a classroom teacher. I worked in high poverty minority schools by choice. I always wanted to be there because I was accustomed to pulling up my sleeves, working in the community, working with families, grassroots organizations there. And I wanted to be there to be a part of the beauty of watching young people evolve to develop. So this has always been a passion of mine. And then my work, my research. I'm a certified principal and superintendent, and I've worked in schools for 30-plus years. But my research basically has focused on equity, gender, race, and leadership development. And so this has been my life's work, my research, and I've taught it. I've dealt with certifying principals, superintendents, educational specialists. I've worked for Texas Education Agency, as well as University of Missouri. I've worked on almost every level in education, from elementary, middle, high school, statewide. And this has prepared me, and I did not know it at the time, to be here at this for such a time as this. It is the height of my career. It is the challenge of all that I have been passionate about all of my life. And it is my gift before it's the end of the career. I see this as my gift.
Well, I tell you what, the life's work and the gift are very apparent to those of us around Northwest Missouri State. And listeners of All Things Northwest, I think you can appreciate the love, the integrity, the passion that Dr. Simmons brings to this position. Dr. Simmons, if you were to describe the vision for the position of Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Northwest, how would you describe that vision?
Climate, beautiful climate. It is my dream to see this university and this community become a model for the nation to point to for diversity as an excellent model. My vision is that major corporations would say, we need and seek students who graduate from Northwest because of the diversity enhancements that they have, that we can send them anywhere in the world and at least they are comfortable with culture. But besides the knowledge and the diversity competence part, the part of human-to-human relationships. My vision is, and we can do it because of the size of this population, the willingness of individuals on this campus, and the welcoming spirit of the city of Maryville, from its ministerial alliance to its chamber to its industry community and its merchants. We can be that model together of a beautiful city where people can point to and say, that's a model city. That is a unique city where everyone feels welcome, where they are upholding diversity and respecting inclusion. And we can do it. We have probably one of the most beautiful areas in this country. And if you've seen livability.com, where they rate smaller cities, 20,000 and under, they rate them on how well they tell their story, how engaged their citizens are to those things offered in the community. We have a lot of beautiful things going on between town and gown, between our city and this campus, and I think that there is a story that needs to be told. My vision is to hear that story told as a model for the nation.
Well, it's a beautiful vision. It's a vision that we at the university are embracing, and it's part of our strategic plan, our strategic efforts. Mm-hmm. And really within the strategic plan, we have an objective focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Absolutely.
And in that, there are three areas to address: access and success, number one, number two, learning and teaching, and number three, campus and community climate. For our listeners of All Things Northwest, Dr. Juanita Simmons, let's take those one by one and talk about what we've been doing, where we're going with those. Let's start with access and success.
Okay,
what have we been up to, and how are we doing, where are we going?
We're all over the place. We do have a program where we are reviewing all of our organizations and looking at student involvement. And we together are collaborating on ways to engage our students so that all students have a sense of belongingness. So there are several activities going on. We are now in the process of attempting to reactivate one of the Divine Nine fraternities. And then we are recruiting students from various places. We're looking at particularly right now agriculture, and looking at some of the high schools with endorsement programs, large agricultural programs, where they do have a number of minority students involved. And so we're very much focusing on access and success. But, you know, I didn't mention the fact that all of this is framed, as you said, in our strategic objectives, the university's plan, which is probably one of the most phenomenal strategic plans I've ever seen for any organization. Every department, every element of this university is involved with this strategic plan, and diversity, equity, and inclusion thread through all of it.
True statement.
It is one of the most sophisticated plans I've ever seen, to have been so genuine and to see people who are so engaged in its operations. So no wonder our access and success plans are being collaborated with. What we're doing, when we say we come to the table with these activities, we come to the table with several different organizations on that campus, several different divisions, admissions, recruitment. It's all one whole family threaded into these objectives. Looking at the third one, which is the campus and community climate, I have been very pleased that this community has been so welcoming. We have had individuals who were not even employed with the university, who have extended themselves, who have given us invitations to their civic organizations throughout the community. The Ministerial Alliance has been a very welcoming organization. They are very pro this school and community relationship and the climate, and want to know, what can we do to support this? They hear the message loud and clear of what you are speaking about, our strategic plan, and what others are saying. And so they have been involved with it, and we are benefiting from those conversations because they inform us of other areas. We look at it academically, socially, where our students are involved, but they're looking at it from the perspective of the total community, and we appreciate hearing their voice. Looking at teaching and learning, We have worked with many of our departments and the committees working with curricula for our diversity and social justice, threading it through the various departments and academic areas of the university. Of course, we have training cohorts that have taken place. We're getting ready for our second cohort this spring, and we have several courses available. And, you know, the training that is available, conversations, book reviews, and we welcome an opportunity to extend this even beyond the campus and more into the community. We're here for that. It's about campus and community, as we said, under climate. So even with our teaching and learning, access and success, the campus and community climate, all of this is into one. And we are welcoming any opportunity to work with organizations and individuals to make all of this a part that we can all own together.
Well, obviously, you and your team have been doing a lot of work to move the ball forward, so to speak, across these three areas. And for our listeners, let's make no mistake about it, those three areas were cultivated through ongoing research, discussions with a variety of students and stakeholders, and that's why Access and Success Teaching and Learning and Campus and Community Climate were kind of put together as hallmarks to focus upon, because we have some work, some opportunities. Dr. Simmons, obviously it's not just you. You have a team. There's support around you. Maybe talk about the team and the support that you have.
Oh, I have a wonderful team of experienced, loving individuals who are very, very passionate about the work that we do. Steve Bryan, who is the Director of Diversity, is one who has specialized in implicit bias and the training for that. He is a wonderful asset to our team. And then we have the other Director for Inclusion and Accessibility, and our attorney, Rebecca Lawrence, who works with us. And, of course, she manages the Title IX and VI and those compliance reports and ADA. And her assistant, who specializes in accommodations and ADA, Ped Wyatt, who is wonderful. And then, of course, she has a compliance officer, Rachel Brooks, who works with them. And then under diversity also, we are excited to have two young people who are our graduates here at Northwest, and they're very involved with the organizations. And that's Ed Gibson, who is one of our graduates here and who is completing his master's degree here, also who's worked with our organizations. And then Gabby Ray, who is a part of that diversity team. So we have a wonderful group of young people.
And then you talked about support as well.
Yes, we would not be able to do the work that we do without the skeleton, the bone of our leadership team there at the university, and all of the divisions that are a part that come around the table from our Northwest leadership team under your direction. We are very, very grateful for the support that we've had from all of those divisions working collaboratively together to get the job done.
As you think about the beginning of 2017 here and look back at the first 6 months or so that you've been here, what perhaps have been some highlights of your Northwest/Maryville experience thus far?
How individuals have embraced the strategic plan and how they feel a part of the ownership in this vision, and that they are sharing their ideas and their views. I think the willingness is phenomenal. I have been most impressed with that from our campus throughout the community. Individuals who come up to me in the grocery store and say, oh, you're the lady here for diversity. And they will begin to have conversations about their vision and how excited they are about it. And this is like multi-generational. And so we're really excited about the embracing of this throughout this community.
And as you think about the next half year and beyond, what are some priorities that you and your team will be focused upon?
I think probably more of the looking at recruitment of diverse populations and the retention of them, and then hearing from many of our students. And when we talk about diverse populations, we're talking about rural populations who are part of that diversity, gender, nationality. So we look at diversity from a very broad area because we want to be truly about the business of what diversity really is. So our priority is to begin to hear more of the stories and to look more at recruiting for increasing our numbers. We want young people to come here and to take advantage of these beautiful opportunities that we have here.
Public radio listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. I'm your host, John Jasinski, and you're hearing from Northwest Missouri State University's Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Dr. Juanita Simmons. And so, Dr. Simmons, we've kind of run the gamut of strategy, and we've talked about focal areas and what we've done, what we're going to do, vision, and so on. But let's kind of put some action around all this for our listeners, for our community. What can we do as listeners, as individuals, as organizations? What can we do to support the university's goals for diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Thank you. That is an excellent question. We would like to see your presence on our campus in our activities that we have. Homecoming was a wonderful celebration. It was truly an example of diversity. It was truly, to me, a part of our strategic plan when we talk about our campus and community climate. That's an example. Your presence demonstrates this. Your support, let us know if there are areas where we can better assist you. Perhaps you have some concerns or you would like to have some conversations about diversity or inclusion. We would like to be here for you. We are very excited about what's already taken place between our city fathers, some of the leaders in this community, and we would like to see that involvement continue. We're excited that we have an opportunity to possibly have conferences here. We talk about sharing our story. There are a lot of wonderful things happening here in Maryville and on this campus. Help us to tell that story to others. Give us your opinion. Let us know what we can do, what we can do more of. We are here for that. And together we can form this beautiful story that the world can hear.
And Dr. Simmons, when you talk about a beautiful story, you have described for me a little bit of your family background and grandfather, father, husband, and so on. Maybe for our listeners' sake, you can give a little context. And then I kind of want to talk about kind of where you see the state of diversity, equity, and inclusion today in our country, and I guess historically today and tomorrow. So first, just a bit about your own family history, and then second, kind of where do you see things stand historically today, tomorrow? Two different questions.
Mm-hmm. As far as family, I come from a family of educators and ministers. I grew up in the church. My father was a pastor there and my mom a school teacher. And of the six children in all, we were very fortunate that they educated all of us and everyone has advanced degrees. We have been grassroots individuals who worked in the community. And so we come from a long line of people who have been supporters of education.
And then beyond that, as you think about historical, contemporary, and certainly future, how do you view all this in context? And how would you describe where we've been, where we're at, where we're going as a country and beyond?
I have hope when I see our young generations. And I think that one of the blessings of being in this position is walking across the campus and looking at young people and speaking to them and hearing the hope that they have, their visions. I know that we are going through a number of social circumstances that are pretty critical now as a nation, but I believe in our young people. I believe that they are about the business of reshaping the future for themselves that will take in all of the faces, all of the Adams and Eves, and all of the countless generations. Many of them come with questions because they are aware of these circumstances surrounding us, whether it's about gender or race. There are a number of political, social conflicts that they are confronted with now more so than we did in our time or on a different level. My hope is that this young generation will have none of that as a part of their lives, that they would be about the business of the survival of humankind, that they will not regard what I say or what others say when we are opinionated about our differences, but that they would look to the future of what will be necessary for the preservation of mankind. And I see it in many of them. I hear it in so many of their statements, and I have hope that they will do it. And I tell them, let no one stand in your way when it comes to hope. I want to continue to speak the language of hope to them because they're not hearing enough of it around them from our various sources of social entertainment. But we must all plan an agenda that would include a language of hope for our young people because we want them to survive in a better world than we have had. So yeah, for the future, I have hope. I have hope that this generation, because they are so advanced technologically, their very social conscience, we did not have as high of a social justice consciousness as these young people have now. They're very aware of it. I look at the leaders on our campus, president of our student senate. I hear their voices, and they're thinking in a very different way that's not just about themselves, their kind, if there is such a word, but they are about all. And so I know that we have a few who are still going through their learning crisis, who are still confused about some of the social conflicts that they have inherited, and they're trying to make decisions about their own futures. But I have no doubt that they will make the right decision and that things will change in our country for the better of all people, for the improvement of all lives, for a way that we can all survive in a healthy and wholesome way.
So very well said, Dr. Juanita Simmons. Listeners, I think you can tell by listening to Dr. Simmons that her passion and her love are real, they're genuine, and what she's bringing to not just this university, but our city, our county, indeed our region and our state, and beyond, by the way, because she's tapped for national assignments as well. All of that combined suggests that we have someone very special in our presence, and with her team and with really the whole organization in our community doing so many good things. Dr. Juanita Simmons, thank you for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure.
When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Mara Ferguson from the State Theater Council. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Atchison Holt Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Atchison Holt Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the locations of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ahec.coop. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center. Celebrating its 75th anniversary, CRHC has been providing health care in Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri since 1939. More at clarindahealth.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from United Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Missouri and Iowa. United Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the location of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at uECI.coop.
Welcome back to the January edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Mara Ferguson. Mara has lived in Holt County for 41 years, and in the past 8, she's been involved with the State Theater Arts Council, currently serving as president. She and her husband, Herschel, have 2 daughters, Kristen and Mallory, and 3 granddaughters, Kelsey, Ryan, and Reagan. She has worked for Nettleby Valley Bank in Mound City for 16 years. In addition to being involved with the theater, Mara also serves as a session member of Craig Presbyterian Church. Mara, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Well, thank you very much, President Szczesinski, and I am just happy that you want to know more about the State Theater.
Well, we really do, and it's a pleasure to have you here and really to talk about the State Theater. There's such history with it, obviously, but so many good things happening, and that's what Northwest Missouri State and All Things Northwest is all about, highlighting the great work and the great play and the great collaboration around the region. So, Mara, let's get it started. First of all, talk about your own personal passion for theater and your background in the arts.
Well, years ago in high school, I was in some high school plays, and even though you don't have big parts, you're totally involved with the whole aspect of a play. I always tell people with my job, I act every day. You know, it's like you just have to have a persona that you can deal with the public and put on that face. But as far as getting involved with the theater, it has just been so much fun to see the different performers that come in, the thoughts that they share with us about our great theater. So that's kind of my background of the arts.
Well, that's beautiful. And you talk about our great theater and all that goes on. There's such a history. Maybe for our listeners of All Things Northwest, you can maybe background the history a bit to give us context.
It started out as a movie house. It opened in October of 1938. The gentleman that built it was from Kansas City, Missouri, and he received telegraphs from Pat O'Brien, from Betty Davis, just commending him. It was called the finest show house in Mound City. Up until the 1980s, it served as a movie house all that time, and then it just kind of closed, went by the wayside, kind of sad to see it deteriorate. But the late 80s, a group of people formed the State Theater Arts Council. They saw the value of having that theater be a part of our community and the area. So they started fundraising campaigns, did a lot of revitalization themselves to bring the theater back to its original wonder.
And today, the council has to select shows. And so how do you select shows?
We try to go by public opinion a lot of the times. If we have a group that comes in, we maybe try and find another group of that genre that pleases the people. We also are involved with the Missouri Arts Council, who helps provide funding for us, and they have a slate of artists, variety from artists themselves who draw paintings, sidewalk chalk, art, then any musical groups. We've had dance groups come in, so we kind of partner with them also to get some ideas for the groups.
And I reference the council or the board, but kind of describe who serves on the theater board and their roles.
We have people from all walks of life that serve on our board, which is an all-volunteer board. None of us are paid. We have a physician. We have some educators. We have local business people serve on the board. We actually have a lady who, she and her husband retired from Omaha, and one of the main reasons they chose our area was because of the State Theater. So she's a valuable asset to our board.
Well, and listeners of All Things Northwest, I think we all appreciate the value of volunteer boards and what volunteers bring to our communities. So we thank the board members and certainly you for what you do. Let's talk about event funding, you know, program funding for the theater. How do you fund the shows and the programs?
We have a very generous community who helps support our theater. Starting the end of the summer, we do our fundraising campaign, which entails sending out information to our community people. We offer season tickets at that time, but then we also have local advertisers whose names appear in our books all season long. Every time we have a show, their name is right out there. Plus, we are part of the Missouri Arts Council, so they do provide funding for us on specific shows as well as throughout the year.
And what are some of the shows, as you look back, some of the more popular shows that you've had perform at the theater?
Everybody loves a Branson show, and we've been blessed to have the Bretts join us for a couple of shows. They usually do a Christmas show, which is absolutely fantastic. We've had the Missouri Boat Ride Band, which is a bluegrass band. They've also been very popular from Branson. Last season, we had, at Christmas time, the Browns, which I believe are from up in Iowa. They did a gospel show that just got everyone in the Christmas spirit. While we've had good success with a lot of these big name shows, some of our most popular items are when we do our community talent show or the community play. That just gives everyone local that wants a chance to be on that stage an opportunity to do so. Plus, they bring their family, they bring their friends, and it's usually just a good hometown feeling when you have an event like that.
And that may tie into my next question, which is really about community service and what the theater provides.
That is what we hope to provide, an outlet for someone that wants to just give acting a try. Everyone has to start somewhere. So we hope that they would give our theater a chance. We also partner with the school because they don't have an auditorium that they can do plays. So for those young people to actually stand on a stage, it makes them feel like they're in a real major production. We partner with our summer library. They have a program that they come in a couple or three times during the summer. They have different acts. Casey Wolf came and visited one summer. So we've partnered with them as well as our Northwest Missouri Homeschool Group. They've used our facility for their plays also.
So in terms of community members perhaps giving it a try, you're saying even novices like yours truly could give it a whirl and see if I can't contribute in some way.
Absolutely you can. We had a talent show about 2 years ago, and while I don't have any musical ability whatsoever, they needed kind of a mime type person that would just do some gestures and a little bit of acting while the lady sang her song to An Unrequited Love. It was so much fun. I was a little nervous. You know, I've been on that stage to introduce people and talk about the theater, but to actually get up there and be part of it, what an opportunity for people. So we'd invite you to come anytime you'd like.
Well, thank you. And we want our listeners to know that. I think that's very important in terms of getting involved. So as we think about the shows ahead and the shows that you're scheduling for the remainder of the season, what are some of those shows?
As I spoke earlier, we do partner with the school on a lot of things, and we are going to do a Shakespeare Festival in February. Part of that will be a workshop for students of the Mound City School. They will then get a chance to come to the theater, and that will then give them an opportunity to perform with that group for the evening show open to the public. We also have our community play coming up, which that is just something that you just be involved. There's something for everyone if you want to be in that play. I believe it's going to be a comedy this year. We did the Addams Family, the musical, a couple of years ago, which was so popular. But a comedy, you can just sit back, relax, and really enjoy the time with that.
You bet. And if our listeners for All Things Northwest, if they want to plan ahead and attend some of the 2017 shows, what should they do?
We have a theater box office number. It's an answering service, but we do check that machine periodically, so they could call that number. We also have a website, mcstatetheater.com. They could definitely get on there, check out any shows, any updated information. And then we're on Facebook. It's the 21st century. Everybody's on Facebook. So just get on Facebook, find us, like us, and keep up with us that way. We appreciate comments that are on our Facebook page. Kind of helps us with the programming to see what people would really like to have.
Well, Mara Ferguson, you, the board, the community, the region, thank you for all that you do in uplifting the arts and obviously theater. We appreciate your service as the president of the State Theater Council, and thanks for joining All Things Northwest.
Well, thank you again for the invitation, and I hope to see you at some shows.
Thank you. And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Dr. Juanita Simmons, Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Northwest Missouri State, and Mara Ferguson, President of the State Theater Arts Council. Thanks, too, to our producer, Kayla Morgan. She's a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, along with our KXCB station manager, Rodney Harris. Friends, we here at Northwest talk about being a Bearcat. You've heard me talk about it before. We encourage you to join our students and all of us in being partners as we address all five elements of being a Bearcat. Keep learning, keep caring, keep connecting, practice civility, and show Bearcat pride. And we also would encourage you to show that pride in public radio. Take good care, keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Chasinski. Thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, KXCB KRNW, and public radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Family Eye Clinic. More information is available online at familyeyeclinic.net or at 660-582-5222. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by broadcast production major Kayla Morgan. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.